What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us, for open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
We're back. How many months has it been since we last recorded? I think I had mid-July maybe. It was when you did that, when you went on vacation?
No, August. So there's a chance we recorded like early August.
Maybe. I can't remember. But anyways, with the Warriors in training camp, we are back. We'll be back regularly closer to when the season starts. But there's a lot to finally talk about in the NBA with the Warriors and also with the Valkyries. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But are you ready for basketball season to be here so soon, it feels like?
Yes and no. I feel like because of the Olympics, it hasn't been that big of a break.
Yeah.
Exactly. So like if it wasn't for the Olympics, I'd be like clawing. Like, yes, we need it like now. But because of the Olympics, I feel like I still have some time to, and because of my new, like, you know, following the WNBA as closely mm-hmm. as I have been, I feel that basketball doesn't take a break. So
that's an interesting way to think about it, because I'm with you. I haven't watched as much WNBA as you have, but I've watched a good deal. And with the Olympics, we were watching every day, seemingly, with the men's and the women's team for almost 2 weeks. So, yeah. It does not feel like it's been that big of a break, but if you think about when the playoffs started to when the Warriors stopped playing, getting knocked out in the play-in, it's been a long time since they have played, for sure.
Yeah.
Compared to how we're used to feeling.
True. It's been a long time since we've seen Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins suited up, but we saw Steph in the Olympics. It's been a while since we haven't seen those guys.
Yeah, and it may still be a little while before we see Andrew Wiggins, because he is hurt. Or not hurt. I guess he's ill. Is that the story? Is that he has an illness?
Oh, I thought there was injury. I didn't realize it was illness.
I think it's illness. I don't know what
I haven't looked into it, so definitely could be.
But I guess they have their first preseason game on Saturday, which is really soon. So that's interesting. When does the season actually start? Do you know?
I don't know the exact date. I know it's end of October.
Who do they open up against?
Is it the Clippers? No.
It is the Trailblazers, it looks like, maybe.
Oh, man.
The 23rd. That might be right. Anyway. All right. We're going to be a little bit more organized on this show generally, as I took a step back and thought, you know, how we can kind of set the tone for what we want to talk about. So we'll have a couple of segments. We'll do Warriors talk always, and kind of the latest news of what's going on with the team. We'll always start the show with that. But because we are, you know, half a year away or whatever from the Valkyries playing, when does WNBA season usually start?
April?
Is it that early? Okay. Well, because I know women, the NCAAs are done in April.
March.
So maybe it's,
oh, so it's like probably May.
May
or June. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not that far away from the opening of the Valkyries. So if there is Valkyries news, we will also do a Valkyries segment, and we'll usually end the show with more of a broad NBA style conversation. But let's hit the Warriors talking points here. All right. The first thing I want to talk to you about is this idea of who is going to replace Klay Thompson in the starting lineup at the two guard position. Anthony Slater wrote something in The Athletic, I believe it was yesterday, and it looks like there are three people who they are looking at to possibly take that spot. Brandon Pajemski is the first, and Anthony had a stat of when he and Steph were in the lineup together, they were very efficient offensively as a unit. There is the sort of the more traditional size shooter in Buddy Hield. And then there is also the more defensive minded, who's going to guard the other team? Who's going to guard Ja out of the gate? D'Anthony Melton. Where do you sit right now? I mean, we haven't even seen these guys play at all, but before the season even starts, where are you leaning as a fan?
I'm definitely leaning Melton. I think that defense has shaped the Warriors for a lot of their success. And, you know, a few things, Klay, you know, taking a step back defensively, him not being able to be the point of attack defender that he once was, definitely hurt them. But then you had Wiggins, who was able to do that. And but Wiggins had a down year last year and a little bit of the year before that with injury with the abdomen and, you know, his father. So I think that this year, of course, I'm hoping that he's back and good to go at some point. But I think you need to redefine defense. And I think that's usually going to be their best chance is if they're a high defensive rated team. And I think the defensive choice, as Slater puts it, for D'Anthony Melton is the way to go.
What do you think about the stat that I just mentioned about Pajemski and Steph? Because that backcourt defensively is going to be very lacking. But if you can outscore the other team, then maybe it's a pro rather than a con.
I don't know. I think of like the smallest offensive or just smallest backcourts in the NBA. And the only one that comes to mind in terms of just height, not being that tall of a combined point guard and shooting guard, is the Cleveland Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. And I'd say their offensive abilities put together probably is better than Steph and Pajemski put together. And if they can't make it happen, then I can't say that Steph and Pods would make it happen.
I would love to see Pods play more with Steph because I think they love having a creator, and he is definitely a creator.
Yeah.
The thing about him, though, is he is less crafty and more hustle. And I think they need more crafty from that position if they're going to take that defensive hit. But then again, it's not like Buddy Hield is going to be the answer defensively either. He's going to be the shooter that you want next to Steph for sure. And, you know, but the thing is I think they're going to test out all of these different things. There's another possibility, depending on, I don't know if this is probably not going to be a starting unit, but I'm sure we will see Wiggins kind of slide down to the two in moments, especially if he's hitting his three. I think we could see that. But like I said, you know, he hasn't even practiced yet. He's been 3 days in a row. He's out. But Wiggins himself is kind of a part of this topic, related to this topic. He had a down year last year. He's had lots of issues personally in the last couple of years, and his father passed away just recently, so that's, you know, that's a thing that he's dealing with as well. I don't even know if it's fair to ask this question to him personally, but you know, we're just kind of spitting. Do you expect Wiggins to have a bounce back season?
I do. I feel like it's the only chance they have. Like, I've written the Warriors off. You know, I think I even said on this podcast, like, if they don't do anything substantial in the offseason, like, I guarantee, like, they're not going to be that good. And nothing substantial happened, in my opinion. So I don't really want to switch up from that. But if there are steps for them to have a good season, it relies on, you know, not 2020 to 2021 Steph, but not too far from that, you know, when he's third in MVP. You know, because it was just him versus everyone.
You're talking about cornrows, Steph?
Yeah, yeah. He switched it up like a quarter of the way through the season. And then obviously Wiggins performing at somewhat of the 2022 version he was at. I think it's a Kuminga next step. I think it's availability Draymond. I think it's, I don't know, you know, more moody. I don't know. You know, it's, I think that this team is still looking for the big move that could happen. It seems like Dunleavy's leaving his options open, that it could even happen at the deadline. I don't think he's lying. I just don't think it's likely. So, but I think they are still looking for that big move. I thought it was an interesting thing that they said, like, we want to do something. We just don't want to do something that we don't think is going to like really move the needle. Like, yeah, Lauri Markkanen and Paul George would have been absolutely awesome on this team, but would they have made us championship contenders? Probably not. And it sounds like they're still looking for that move to make them a championship contender. However, if they don't find that, then I would have just said, do the thing that's more fun so we could watch Steph go out with more of a competitive team. And
what moves are out there to make them a championship contender, though?
You're just relying on someone to, you know, get upset.
Because what we've seen in the last couple of years, you know, maybe this is all because of the Warriors. Like, you look at Phoenix, and they're trying to get three guys who they believe are top level players to play together, but it really thins out their bench. And so the Warriors have Steph and Dre as the vets. Steph is still a star if you watch the Olympics. And I don't know, like, if you added a Markkanen or a Paul George, that gives Steph a number two, which is what you've been asking for the last couple of years. And it probably doesn't thin out your bench as much as it would if, you know, Draymond was making $40 million as well. Like, I think they could have probably put a decent bench together. I would have liked to see them match up against some of these other teams with, you know, with that secondary score. I'm not so sure they wouldn't have been a contender. I think on paper, maybe the way that we look at basketball rosters, but could they have also signed D'Anthony Melton and Buddy Hield and guys like that, if a Kyle Anderson, if they brought on a Markkanen? I don't know what the numbers would have said about who would have been available and not, but I would like, if you just take what you have right now and add a Markkanen or a George, I think we would feel,
yeah,
so much
I'd roll
better
with
about
that
team.
I think that's why the Markkanen deal fell through, is it wouldn't have just been an ad. It would be, it sounds like they were asking for the superstar package because his
substitute for Wiggins. And I guess you would have to substitute.
Mods Kuminga that for Lowry, right?
Well, I guess that would have been the thing that they held off on, right? Was Pods. But, you know, Are you penciling in Kuminga as a big piece of the rotation this year?
I am. I'm penning it in. Yeah, for sure.
You're penning it in.
Yeah, he's going to be, you know, top seven in minutes. He has to be.
Even with that blonde hair.
Yeah, even with the fake Slim Shady. I think without a doubt, he will finish top seven in minutes and probably higher. I just don't think he's starting. I don't think he's starting right now. Do you?
You see, Draymond said he's a small forward.
Draymond's wrong.
That's what Draymond said. He's a small forward, and he's always seen him as a small forward.
Got to be able to shoot the dang ball if you're going to be a small forward. But I guess there was some reporting. I saw some tweet. It was like Dalton Johnson said, as the power forward on the Warriors, you have to be able. I don't know who he got it from, but like that's a decision maker position, and he doesn't. Then I guess Kuminga is not considered like a high level decision maker, so therefore he can't be a fourth.
Yeah, he's just so slow. It's not.
But then the three, I think it requires that you have to be able to shoot 3-point shot, and you know he hasn't been able to do that. If you want to call that fake 37% season legit, it was probably because he was taking one attempt.
Okay, but if his 3-point percentage was fake that year, what was Draymond? Was Draymond's fake last year?
What did he end with?
I don't remember, but I just
I think that. I mean I
he
think
like
all
the highest
three,
three throw shooting or highest 3-point percentage in the first quarter or something like that.
I think all 3-point percentages are fake if no one guards you, because Kuminga's at the point where he's not going to be guarded when he's shooting a 3-point shot. If Kuminga averages 35% through the middle of the season, like that's great. But I think what matters to actually make things substantial is when a defender goes out to contest that, because then that opens it up for everyone else. So until he can do that, I don't care about the percentage, until he can get someone to come out and guard his 3-point shot, that I think that's the necessary next step for him.
All right. Topic number two on the whiteboard. Talking. This is erasable pen, by the way. Unlike your in pen. This is erasable pen on the whiteboard. Draymond had some comments in the Marcus Thompson article about his faith and loyalty to the Warriors franchise, and he sort of set the expectation of, you know, we're going to go out there, we're going to try and win a championship, but really the main goal is to set up this franchise to continue to be successful. And he even said, like, if they win a title in 10 years, that's mine too. And I, you know, it's so weird to think of Draymond as one of the old heads because of how he came up. And even, you know, even when the KD season, you know, which I don't know, is probably the best basketball I've ever seen in my life, Draymond was still only in like year five or something like that. So he was still a young dude. And now being like the elder statesman with Steph on the team, it's kind of interesting to see the wise Draymond. Now, Draymond is just a hypocritical human, right? Because he's got all of these great comments on his podcast, and then he'll also throw some shade at the same time. He's got comments like this in the Marcus Thompson piece where it's not really about, you know, winning a title every year as much as it's about, you know, being happy and successful. And
I'm sure he's had a quote that's the exact opposite, you know?
Right. So, and so that's kind of the thing is, I would like to look at this version of Draymond and go, wow, this is like the wise and savvy vet. And then in game five, he clotheslines somebody and then is suspended again. Right. So there's we're all hypocritical in some way, but that is a little bit of this is kind of a preseason Draymond versus this is who he really is. Cause I think if he is not as intense and is not as competitive, he's probably not as good of a player, but you do want to see him channel that energy. I think we are at that stage though with this team. Do you root for a good season, 48 wins, competing, knowing that by doing that, you're also not anywhere near a title, and at the same time, unable to completely rebuild through the draft because you're drafting so late? That's an interesting strategy because we've seen it in the past with teams that bottom out, and then you get the number one pick, and you can draft Wembanyama. So, like, it's an interesting thought, but at the same time, is that what you're selling your team on? We have all of the players whom you love, except for Clay, and they're going to fight hard, but they're probably not a title team.
What's the question? I guess. Like, are you saying
is that a successful blueprint to an NBA team?
Just you're saying had they have kept Clay?
No, I'm saying the way that Draymond is trying to present this team as maybe not a title team, but a team of the guys that you really enjoy watching, and we may not win a title now, but maybe we win a title in 10 years, and that's also mine because I'm helping set the foundation.
And in this 10-year timeline, like, he's not there. Steph's not there. Like,
maybe he watched Buster Posey get his role with the Giants. He's like, I'm going to work for the Warriors in 10 years.
I mean, I hope he's around. Like, I hope, like, I feel like he's implying like that's mine because what he's doing now is going to, you know, help them in the future. But like in my mind, I imagine him probably sticking around for the future in some type of role. You know, I think he's his own, you know, businessman going to do the podcast and stuff, but I could see him being in some type of like advisor role or something just to stick around. But no, I don't like that.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that the majority of the Warriors fan base is probably not that happy thinking about the team that way as well. Like, you know, the light years guys, like, you know, like, yay, kumbaya, we like, but we also want to see you guys win. Right?
It's like, you know, it's like he wants to have the team kind of respected at a level like San Antonio is, like Boston is, like the Lakers are, where it's like, it kind of doesn't matter the team they have, like, they're always just going to be this super respected franchise. And I don't know. You look at the Spurs once everyone kind of left and, you know, they had the DeJounte Murray year where they made the playoffs. I don't think anyone cared about them. And then they had this little drought and they got lucky with Wembanyama. But had they not gone Wembanyama, like no one gives a hell about the Spurs. And they're like one of those super respected franchises that like people, a lot of players laid the groundwork for future generations. And it, I don't know. It don't matter. You just I think that, you know, I think that you get a player like Stephen Curry, who's going to go down as a top seven NBA player of all time. He's going to go down as the greatest franchise player that this team has ever had. I think that that's, you just, I don't know. I think you gotta focus on the years with him as opposed to thinking years without him.
All right. I want to shout out Osman, who is in the chat hanging out with us. All right. Third point for the talking points on the whiteboard here. I took a look at their roster. Not seeing a lot of guys taller than 6'9" still.
What's new?
I'm gonna give you the size here. Kyle Anderson, 6'9". Draymond, 6'6".
I didn't think he was that tall.
TJD, 6'8". Jonathan Kuminga, 6'7". Kevon Looney, 6'9". Quinton Post.
It's literally just Quinton Post, isn't it?
Yes. That's the only one. They have so many guys who are 6'7" on this roster.
What's new? I wish teams literally have 6'9" players who are wings and mobile. Yeah. Like our 6'9" players are like centers. It's just how it's always been, man. Wish we can get our hands on a Brandon Miller, right?
It hasn't always been that way because they have had guys like Harrison and KD who are tall for their small forward positions or big can guard fours as well. But yeah, that is kind of the constant with this team. And I wonder what that means. Does that mean the skilled the skilled 6'10" and above guys are few and far between, or is this just a Warriors thing where in order to play with Steph, you know, they have to have a specific player and they just cannot? I mean, I guess, you know, if you had someone as skilled as Kat who was available, then I'm sure he could probably play with Steph, but he's also making $50 million himself. So it's kind of an interesting thought experiment about why. Like, what is the reason why they do not have anybody worth a damn taller than 6'9" on their roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think the guys who are mobile that are 6'9" are probably not easy to get.
That is probably the answer. But it also makes you wonder that they must not exist where they're picking in the draft either, like, or they're not they're not worth taking an opportunity. Maybe they got burned by the Jordan Bells of the world, and
I think the Warriors don't just want the six. I don't think the Warriors just want this 6'9" guy who can move around. Like I think it's ever so clear in every single free agency that the guys they add to their team are probably regarded as smarter NBA players. Kyle Anderson being another great example of this, where it's like they just invest. They're going to get this guy who knows how to play. And I think that's always been important in this Warriors system. That's not just dribble, 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 drive and kick. It's everyone's moving all the time. And so they don't just want a 6'9" guy who can move. It sounds like you have to be a 6'9" guy who can move and also, you know, be smart and like have a high quote unquote basketball IQ that. And I feel like those players are probably the top of the draft. You know, that would be my guess.
But where does coaching come in? Can you not coach these guys with the size and the athletic ability? And I don't know.
It seems weird that they are
unable to add any sort of guys with some size. All right. So the preseason, like I said, starts this weekend. They play the Clippers. I don't know. It surprises me how in the NFL, like, the starters never play. And in spring training, you know, you're playing a couple of innings here and there. In the NBA, it seems like the players play a lot, actually. So we will, I'm sure if you are checking in on the Warriors now, Steph may not play every game, but he's going to play a decent, you know, 15, 20 minute chunk to get ready for the season.
This Clippers game doesn't mean a damn thing, but they are a team who I feel like I would be interested in gauging the Warriors against in terms of where they're going to end up in the standings. So I am interested to see kind of, I guess, for the two few minutes that they might try of what it looks like.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is DaxRU?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's go to our new, brand new segment here.
Valks Valley.
All right. Okay. You didn't like that little audio effect there on the voice?
AI or was that your voice?
Huh?
Was that AI or was that your voice just messed with?
It was my voice through some sort of filter.
Yeah.
That's great. I forgot what the filter was, like some sort of funky filter, but... all right, so the Valkyries are going to be involved in the expansion draft, and we were kind of wondering how they were going to do this. I only have knowledge of how it worked in baseball in like the mid-90s, and it looks like each team will be able to protect 6 players. The Valkyries will be able to draft 1 player from each team, but once they draft 1 player from each team, that team is further exempt from having another player taken. So at most, the other teams will lose 1 player. Now, there's lots of different things surrounding this about undrafted or unrestricted free agents who have been cored by their team, which kind of helps keep some of these players in the markets that they're playing in, because the contracts are shorter, I'm guessing, than we see them. And then there's this whole other thing about the new CBA going into effect and players not wanting to tie their finances long-term at this moment. So what is your understanding of how this thing is going to work for the Valkyries and the kind of the strategy behind how they may even put this thing together?
I think that, you know, this is going to be my first expansion draft of actual memory. The Atlanta Dream were added to the WNBA in 2008. I obviously was not watching in 2008, so I don't have much now. I tried to go back and see if there's any type of like video about that draft to see how it went down. I couldn't find anything. So I'm pretty much entering here as blind as most. So, you know, I think I'm really excited to see like GMs like genuinely like in, like they're going to be in the lab, like cooking up, like they need, this is where I feel like we're going to get to see like who the good GM is and who isn't, just based on, you know, protections and what they do with this trade, the trades and stuff. Like that's what I think I'm most excited to see, is that I feel like we're not going to see the Valkyries take 12 players. I feel like, or they are, but there's going to be a lot of little minor deals made where, I'm trying to think of how to say it, you know, after we've read a recent article that I feel like goes into like the minutia of stuff. Like I'm trying to think of how to present this. And
Richard Cohen is the author. He wrote it for the Her Hoops Stats newsletter. It is the Her Hoops Stats Substack, and they also have a Her Hoops Stats, Twitter account, though Richard also has his own Twitter account, and we've followed both of them on the BSPN Twitter. But I guess what you're saying is they are able to basically make deals to say, like, let's say that the Sparks, out of the six people that they freeze and protect, maybe there's a seventh person that they really, really want to protect. And they go, hey, we're going to give you a pick in 5 years or 3 years and just tell us that, you know, you're not going to take this player from us, and we will basically trade our pick to get our player, our unprotected player back. Those are some of the deals that Richard explained in his newsletter. And also just, you know, little deals around certain players. Like, look, you know, if Kelsey Plum was like, hey, I want to get traded, you know, I'm not happy at that, I'm just using her because I don't think that's going to happen. But we've seen a lot of movement from players. And if people are trying to find their way to Golden State because they're like, oh, Lake of Light Years, this may be a good place to go. Mm-hmm. Like, they could theoretically trade, you know, picks and stuff for big time players, though I don't imagine that is going to happen. It seems unlikely right away, but there's going to be some free agents who are available and who are uncored at some point, who the Valkyries may attempt to go after. The thing that I don't understand is the way that the salary cap works in comparison to the NBA, and whether or not Lakeup, being in the market that he is and having the finances that he has with the Warriors, I mean, what is there like luxury tax implications and all of those things, or could he just, you know,
overpay
and just be like so far above the salary cap and just go, yeah, those penalties are, you know, they're pocket change to us. Like that's something I'm actually interested about.
Yeah, that's something I should have looked up prior to this podcast, because I've been wondering the same thing. If there's a hard cap of some sort, because I got to imagine if he overspends like that, other owners aren't going to be happy and it'd be an issue. But then again, it's not necessarily his fault. He's just big money Joe. But I think to piggyback off of your point, I think I'm really interested in seeing, like you were mentioning with this core designation, the way I've understood it is it's like the NFL franchise tag. So you put a tag on someone and therefore they can't go to free agency, even if they were supposed to. You just keep them on your team. It's kind of like the concept of it is a little messed up, but you do give them like a 1 year most money you can
max,
give them type of contract.
Yeah, max but, contract.
Yeah. That's how they try to like make it like a little more reasonable, because I mean, obviously these top players that are getting cored want to enter free agency to get multi-term, multi-year deals to, you know, have more security, more financial security, and, you know, just a longer-term deal. So, you know, this coring, or for the NFL, franchise tag, WNBA core, you're only allowed to get cored twice in your career. Once you have been cored twice in your career, you can no longer be cored again. Mm-hmm. So there is, for the Valkyries, there is the opportunity to draft one unrestricted free agent in the entire league. So like we said earlier, each team is protecting six players. The Valkyries get to select one player from each team. However, they get to select one unrestricted free agent. And once they select that one unrestricted free agent, you know, the one, they can't do that anymore for any of the other teams. They can only do one unrestricted free agent draft selection out of the entire league. And people, you know, my first thought would be, well, why would people protect an unrestricted free agent?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the coring stuff comes in. That's where Breonna Stewart of the New York Liberty is going to be an unrestricted free agent. And if the New York Liberty do not protect her, even if she's going to be an unrestricted free agent, the Golden State Valkyries would select Breonna Stewart without questions and put a core designation on her. So she has no chance of leaving the Golden State Valkyries. And the New York Liberty would be cooked. So they are going to protect her.
They're not going to allow that to happen.
They're not going to allow that to happen. So they are going to protect her, and they are going to put a core designation on her. However, my next question, so I'm just kind of explaining my thought process of how I was thinking. I was like, okay, so then what if there were players that have had two core designations already? Are they available to be drafted? The answer is no, because if you are an unrestricted free agent, there's an example of this on the Connecticut Sun right now. There's Dawana Bonner and there's Breonna Jones. Both have received core designations twice in their career already. So the Connecticut Sun actually don't have to use them in their protection of six players. Even though they're two of the three best players, they don't have to use two protection spots on them, because the Golden State Valkyries, even if left unprotected, couldn't draft on those two unrestricted free agents, because the only reason the Golden State Valkyries would draft unrestricted free agents is to core them, put a core designation on them. And those two players can't be cored. So there's no reason for the Valkyries to select them. It'd be a wasted selection, because they would just go on the team for a month and leave the team.
unless it gave you a little bit of like a inside like
negotiating
track
time,
negotiate with them.
I don't even know if they're like actually allowed to at the end of the day. So that's kind of the explanation with the unrestricted free agent. If there is an unrestricted free agent that's worth a damn, most teams are going to protect that player. The Las Vegas Aces are going to protect Kelsey Plum. And if not, they're not just going to unprotect her for the Valkyries to so politely have. Like, it's going to be either, you know, Kelsey Plum, I saw you were arguing with Becky Hammon on the bench. I saw you had a bad game too. Maybe there's some tension there, and maybe she's going to request out. Then the Vegas Aces aren't going to say, okay, well, we'll just leave you unprotected for the Valkyries to take. No, they're going to negotiate a trade and say, hey,
yeah,
Valkyries,
you're going to give us your first pick, and then your first pick in 3 years or whatever it is.
So,
so this exercise, I was actually looking, I was like, okay, protect six players. And you would think that, you know, six through or seven through 12, you know, maybe you don't, maybe there's not that many good players, but I was even looking at Indiana's roster. And the reason why I picked Indiana is probably because I just watched more games of Indiana than anybody else. And so I went through and I was going to say, okay, who are the six that they protect? So I'll just name them. They'll protect Kelsey Mitchell. They'll protect Nalissa Smith. They'll protect Aaliyah Boston. They'll protect Lexi Hull. They'll protect Caitlin Clark. That is six. You know who that leaves open is my favorite.
Temi.
Fagbenley. That's who I want the Valkyries to go after. And you know, maybe they protect her, and maybe they leave Lexi Hull unprotected, or whoever.
I don't think they'll leave Lexi Hull unprotected.
Lexi Hull's a Bay Area kid, so they'd probably really appreciate it if she did, because you could actually market her a little bit. But like, you know, even for the Fever, who were a solid team, but they weren't the best team in the league, like getting to six was really quick. Like, I was able to name, you know, all six players and go, oh, and that leaves Fagbenley for the Valkyries to take. And I mean, if you believe that Katie Lou Samuelson kind of gets back into being a really good player, she did not have a good season with the Fever last year. So there's going to be some pretty good players now, star players, more than likely not, but really good role players. There's going to be some really good role players available for the Valkyries.
Yeah, I mean, you watch the Fever more than me. Like, would Erica Wheeler be the protection?
So that she would have been the next one, but she didn't have a good year either. And she's older, right? She's like, on the roster. So Kelsey Mitchell has been in the WNBA for 6 years. Dontis has been in the WNBA for 8 years. And then Wheeler has been in the WNBA for 8 years. And then Katie Lou is like the only other person who's been older than a 3-year vet. So, Wheeler is on the older end. I think she will probably be unprotected as well. So she and Fag Benley will probably be unprotected. Katie Lou will probably be unprotected. So
yeah. So did you, what I think one of also my favorite scenarios for the Valkyries where I feel like Ohema Nianin is our GM. I feel like if she starts getting in the lab, man, based on that article we read, I feel like she can cook some things up in the sense of, so I think Indiana is, this is my belief is after reading that article. I think there are a few unrestricted free agents that they have. I think Kelsey Mitchell's one of them. I think Erica Wheeler is one of them. However, I think with all the other positions, they're tied up into multi-year deals. And this article that we read was saying that, let's say that the Indiana Fever want to make a splash in free agency. However, you know, let's say the Valkyries don't take someone from their roster. Maybe it's a pick they get instead in this scenario, so that, you know, Indiana wouldn't be able to make a splash if they're already capped at their roster limit, or, you know, they needed more money flexibility. They could ask the Valkyries and say, hey, we will give you our first round pick if you take Katie Lou Samuelson off of the board for us. She has a 2-year contract. We're paying her too much. If you guys take her for us, we will give you a draft asset. Mm-hmm. And if I'm the Valkyries, I would say, thank you very much. We are doing that.
You could stack
and
them.
And then another tidbit to this is that I guess for an expansion draft, if you waive that player, you do not take a hit to your salary cap.
You still pay them, but you're not hit on the cap. Yeah. So this is where Lightyear's money.
This is where Lightyear's Ohema Nianin could really just go crazy. She could take this draft app asset from the Fever, take Katie Lou Samuelson, cut Katie Lou Samuelson, and then, you know, the rest is history, man. You have this extra pick that you can utilize. I think there was one more, right? Let's do this exercise for the Las Vegas Aces. And this is also something I'm getting from this article. This article was super informative. I would suggest everyone to go read it. We should even link it in the damn podcast about how much we referenced it. Yeah. But for the Las Vegas Aces, if me and you were to talk about who their best 6 players are right now, we would probably both agree on Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young, number 5 being Tiffany Hayes, number 6 and 5 interchangeable, number 6 being Alicia Clark. She's been
Are you saying the Valkyries are going to take Kate Martin?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that those are the Aces' best 6 players, so it would make sense for the Aces to protect all of those 6 players.
Yeah.
However, what this article was saying is that even though Alicia Clark is an unrestricted free agent, so Alicia Clark is an unrestricted free agent. If the Valkyries were to select her as the one unrestricted free agent they get to select, they would have to core her, give her the max money for that year. However, she's apparently like the second oldest player in the WNBA.
Yeah, so she's an 11-year vet.
Would it make sense for the Golden State Valkyries to max out one of the oldest players in the WNBA that isn't Diana Taurasi and use their one unrestricted free agent spot? So even though Alicia Clark is in their best 6 players, maybe they don't protect her to protect someone else because the Valkyries probably wouldn't select her anyways. That's this chess match that I'm so.
Do you think that the Valkyries would go, we're thinking about it. And then they go, no, please, no. And they're okay. Here's, well, what are you going to give us? But then they really don't want to do it. They're just trying to leverage, trying to play poker.
It's a great point. What I want is Gabby Williams from the Seattle Storm. Like if somehow she stays unprotected, I don't think that's going to be the case. But I'm just trying to think of these lower level, unrestricted free agents that I feel like are core worthy. She's probably at the higher on the list for me. But yeah, we need to understand the salary cap more because I think like the max is like for the NBA, we're used to a supermax being what, 33% of the salary cap. I think it qualifies or constitutes the supermax, 33 to 35. And so you see big money, right? The salary cap's like in the high ones, the high 100s or something like that. The WNBA salary cap is at like $1.2 million.
It's like $250,000 is like the top
250
contract.
Is like the supermax, right? And so like, come on, Joe.
Yeah,
you know, right? Come on, Joe.
For these women's sake, when the new collective bargaining agreement and all that stuff kind of gets figured out, their salary's got to double at least. Yeah.
That was going to be my last point, is that the Valkyries are kind of operating at like a little bit of at maybe not the best time, because a lot of these veterans have purposefully shaped their contracts to not go past 2025. Mm-hmm. Because after 2025 and the media deal, the TV rights deal kicks in, or the error gets made. And then in the 2026 season, we're going to see what we saw in 2016 for the NBA, where the salaries go nuts and it goes way higher. So I think there's only two WNBA veterans that have a contract past 2025. And so I think everyone watching what happened to the NBA in 2016, how Evan Turner got paid, Timothy Mozgov got paid or something, like some players that shouldn't have gotten paid.
ET's like, oh, shots fired. Where's that coming from?
Whenever ET hears 2016 and it doesn't have to do with the Warriors, he probably gets really scared because it's going to be
Just smiles and he's like, I'm rich. What do I care?
Yeah, no, that's what he would do. That's what he would do. But my point is saying that I think that the Valkyries entering this free agency and they're going to be able to sign free agents. I think that unfortunately, we're not going to get anyone on the books for longer than a year, which is fortunate for the players and honestly fortunate for everyone around. But I'm saying from a team perspective of us as fans being able to be invested in a player for longer than a year, we can't have too much hope because no player that signs with us, except for draft pick.
Yeah.
And I think so as we continue to do this podcast for the Warriors, even though the Valkyrie season doesn't start until like May, like we're going to have crazy news coming up because they haven't hired a head coach. We don't know where they're drafting in the 2025 college draft. And
it's not going to be Kirk Lakeup. I thought Kirk Lakeup was going to be the coach.
Like three WNBA coaches that have gotten fired recently. So that could be, you know, maybe one of them is we're on the lookout for one of them.
I know Tara Vanderveer, she retired. Not that she
asked Jess. She said no. She doesn't want to.
But you did. You did ask at that.
At the event, I think she addressed it like right away. But I think when we were talking individually, I got to see her at the open house they did or something. I think I asked her again and she said no. But there's just going to be a lot of news coming up.
Did we just break some news? Can I actually put this up? Tara Vanderveer will not be the coach of the Golden State Valkyries.
Well, that would suck if she changes her mind and that's our one lead and it's wrong. Like she could change her mind at any minute.
No way. We're putting this up at least as an Instagram reel or a YouTube
show. I wish I had a video of it.
Was going up. Just real quick, tomorrow. Tomorrow, Friday. The Lynx and the Sun, they are playing and they are tied up at 1. And the Liberty are up on the Aces 2-0 going into game 3. I don't know if Liberty's going to close the series, but they just have their number right now. I'm thinking that they're going to win that series. I hope the Aces go out like champs though and make it tough on them.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about on the other side?
I think Connecticut wins.
You think so?
I do. I haven't finished the second game. I saw the first game. I felt that Connecticut looked dominant through one half, and then the Lynx made their way back, but then Connecticut still won. I think Connecticut is just, I think they're just like annoying. It feels like hard to get your offense settled against Connecticut. But I mean, all these games are close, and Nafisa Collier's the best player in the series. Alyssa Thomas not too far behind. But I think Connecticut's pretty stacked throughout positions like 1 through 6. Like they have such a solid starting five. But the link,
Mabry gonna get punched. That's what I want to know.
She should. You know, she's like, no one should get punched, but like, you know, if you're the Dylan Brooks but she's like actually a really good player. So she's not only like just the villain.
Is that a shot at Dylan Brooks? Right?
No, I like Dylan Brooks too. I actually wish he was on the Warriors.
Brooks, except when he wears those very short jean shorts.
I think that might be my favorite Dylan Brooks. Just like confidence. I'm going Lynx. I'm sorry. Sun and Liberty finals. I think it's a toss up though, of course, in that 1-1 series. But I think Connecticut's been good on the road, and the Lynx have had a hard time protecting home. And game 5 would be at home for the Lynx.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen a lot of the Sun, probably because of their battles with the Fever.
Yeah,
Carrington, what did she win? Most improved or something like that? I think Caitlin Clark won Rookie of the Year. That came out.
Angel Reese did get one first place vote, though. It was like 66. She did.
I want to know who did it. I want to know who did it. I just... Yeah, probably
somebody in Chicago, probably a media person.
Probably. Unlike the NBA, the WNBA voting records are not public, so we have no clue. Because there was last year, there was an Asia Wilson like third or fourth place MVP vote, and everyone's been like, "Who the hell did that? Like, who was the one that did?"
And at this point, it was me.
Exactly. It was
Well, I mean, the way that they're having to wade through a lot of the racial stuff going on right now, I'm glad that there's not more reason to, you know, create controversy or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
It's, you know, the one thing, and I said this at the beginning of the year, was I don't think that they're ready for the infrastructure is not there to deal with the amount of new fans.
I think you were right.
Going to be here. And I didn't want to be right, but it was just pretty easy to see. Like, you go from a certain amount of eyeballs and you don't really plan for this, or you can't really plan for it. And it blew up. Now, how do you build off of it? How do you take advantage of it? That's the next step. And that's what I hope that they're looking at. And Kathy Engelbert is the commissioner, right?
Yeah.
She has not been, she has not had a great last couple of weeks, though. Yeah. I did listen to her on a podcast, The Varsity with John Oren, and I thought she was pretty good on there. But yeah, I mean, this is, you know, there is a model for what they are trying to do, and it is the NBA. Now, it's a different kind of league, but you could take some of the same marketing things. You can take some of the marketing things from the college basketball. I think I would buy stock in the WNBA.
Oh, I would put a lot of money into it. It's on the rise big time. It's been on the rise. Even without Caitlin Clark, they would have reached this place. It just would have taken a little longer. That's my official, like, I think that's the right opinion. Is that they were going to get there.
You take advantage of the exploding star. Like, you just, you're like, hey, next year, guess who has the most national games? The Indiana Fever. Probably, and why not? That's just how it works. Angel Reese in Chicago, they're going to have a ton of national games because she is a draw.
Most likely Paige Bueckers in LA.
And that's the next thing, right? Which is, you have that group coming up. You have Paige, and then Juju's behind Paige. And
about,
so you're
going
to get this influx of talent, like, about every year, where a superstar, a ready-made superstar, is going to be the focus of the draft. And I think that's how the NBA worked. You know, you had Shaq coming in 1992, and then you had who would it have been? LeBron in 2003, and guys like that. So they're Wembanyama. So I guess the last thing here is we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the NBA, and then we'll end the show and get another segment here. Got another little audio. You don't know that audio because you are not old enough to know that audio. But when I was growing up, CBS of all networks had the NBA license for their TV rights. And so that was the intro music to every game on CBS that I watched. So the big trade that happened last weekend, Carl Anthony Towns goes to the Knicks, and Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. Was there a pick in there as well, going back to Minnesota?
Pick that, like, I think is like Detroit's of some sort. That's like late. I don't know. I guess it's not a great first round pick, but nonetheless, it was a first round pick.
On paper, this looks like a win for New York, but I just still have this thing about their team chemistry was so great last year, and now you bring in a wild card who is awfully talented. But you know the thing that I go back to when I think of Cat? That crappy All-Star game last year. Cat was like trying to break scoring records in the crappy All-Star game in which nobody was playing defense. And I kind of hold him accountable for that, like, as a selfish thing, but maybe I shouldn't, because no one's playing defense. Everybody should have just gone for it. You know, when Steph goes for it and when AD goes for it, we're like, they're just having fun. And then when Kat's trying to do reverse dunks and stuff, I'm like, he's being selfish.
Look, but when Steph takes a three-pointer that's 15 feet behind the three-point line, like, no matter who you are and not a Warriors fan, a Steph hater, like, you're going to be like, that's cool.
But, why does Kat kind of exude that thing where he doesn't always seem to be likable? He doesn't seem to be always like
the person who you want to like, that's your star, that's your guy. And he, you know, he was number one draft pick. He's had tremendous career so far, but he hasn't had the opportunity to, I mean, I think a lot of people thought Minnesota was going to come out of the West last year, right? And then they didn't. How much of that is his fault? You know, I'd have to go back through those games, but there's something about Cat that just does not seem very likable. And so that is really the basis of why I don't know if I would have done that if I was the Knicks. It's simply the team chemistry aspect of it.
I don't know. I think Cat gets an unfair shake. But I think that, you know, he's definitely does some stuff to himself that, you know, doesn't help. I actually think, like, I'm not saying this is your reasoning at all, because I don't think you care about this at all. But I think a lot of people's reasoning, you know, probably around, like, you know, my age group and younger, I guess, is I feel like people get on him because he doesn't like exude this masculinity. Like his voice is a little high. He changes voices. And I think Cat himself sometimes gets insecure about that. Like, you know, his nickname is Cat. You know, it's not like I'm a dog. It's like meow, purr. Like they, and they, I think he's a little insecure about that. And I think sometimes he overcompensates, which then comes those quotes where it's like, oh, it's kind of, that's the way you think. That's, you know, I think some of it has to do with that stuff. And although I completely, like, I don't give a crap what his voice sounds like. I don't give a crap if he, you know, is masculine or not. I think that does get to him sometimes. And
yeah, that,
it's just,
I mean,
it's just Twitter isn't real life type of thing.
I think if your argument was that Ant Edwards came in and kind of alpha dogged the team away from him, that is also sort of like a who knows how those things work in the locker room. But he obviously, they made the choice, right? That Edwards is the guy that they see to be who's going to take them into the future.
They made it pretty quick too.
Yeah, and so Cat is kind of like old and busted in that way. And so, yeah, you know, maybe he gets a chance to prove himself in New York and he can shut those naysayers up and have a really good career. Again, my thing is simply about the Knicks had chemistry. How much of that Villanova stuff was real? I know that I saw stuff about DiVincenzo kind of saying like it wasn't that big of a deal to him, and maybe he's had, I just don't like, we had DiVincenzo the 1 year and we know how he plays and kind of the energy he gets from the fans of diving for balls and hitting threes and stuff. But we also know what he's not great at, which is finishing, which is creating his own shot. Like those are things that he is not fantastic at. But at the same time, the Knicks fans appreciate all of those things that he's good at. Whereas Warriors fans kind of was like, yeah, but these are the things he's not good at. And so I just felt like New York was perfect for him. Now, I mean, maybe he has another really good season in Minnesota because he is a good player. But I want the Knicks to be good just because I like the NBA. I like it for the NBA when they're good because they're that giant market. They got the best arena. They got supposedly the best fans, and they deserve a good basketball team. And they've just been poorly handled over the years. And their owner is still like a weirdo. But so I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for that to work out and for Cat to an extent. You know, we'll see how that works. It's just that chemistry piece that kind of befuddles me a little bit. But in the other
to thing, me, they're the most exciting team like that I'm looking forward to watching, just with that starting five, right?
Bridges,
and OG, Brunson, Josh Hart, Karl Anthony Towns. Like that starting five seems like I can't wait to watch it. So I hope I think Cat's gonna play well. I do. I think
if they are good, if New York is good, there's gonna be an interesting New York versus Boston kind of re-rivalry where you got the Knicks is kind of like the underdog team versus the Celtics, who have been put together so effectively and have, you know, the two players, Tatum and Jaylen, and you know, you bring in Porzingis and you bring in Holiday and you just put together this almost perfect basketball team.
And the Knicks are going to be rightly seen as the underdog. And I think that narrative, to use Steph Curry's favorite word, is going to be a good one to watch. But the Knicks also have to be good in order for that to work. They can't come out of the gate and be disappointing, or else, you know, that's not going to be a good thing. Because if it's not them, then who is it? Is it the Sixers? Are the Magic taking a leap? Giannis, is he and Dame going to have a comeback season? I don't know. I it's sort of just right for the taking for the Knicks, I think.
I still would take Boston, but I mean, I don't say that as enthusiastically or confident as I would have had they not had the offseason that they had. I genuinely do think, even though they kind of lost out on some of that college chemistry, like if I got to work with my college buddies, like I'd be so happy. So I don't really buy that Dante DiVincenzo wasn't having like a great time.
Looked like he was having a great time playing. Man. He was like, that was awesome to watch.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think DiVincenzo is actually going to be like a tough loss, but I just think Brunson's so good. And I think Karl Anthony Towns is so good. And I think Josh Hart is, you know, playing on that team, he's been phenomenal. And then I also think Mikal Bridges being able to be like the third scorer is exactly what he was meant to do in his career. And he gets to go back to that Phoenix day while also now having the experience from Brooklyn of knowing what it needs to be done to be like this high efficient volume scorer. Like I think that, and they have the defense with two of the best point of attack defenders in the league, and Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby. So like, man, they got it. I'm really interested in seeing how they play. But from the Minnesota side, like, I think if you told me that somehow this free agency they got Dante DiVincenzo and retained everything else, I'd be like, oh no way! Like that's like exactly what they needed. But you know, then you have to get rid of Kat, and then you bring in Julius Randle. It's like, you know, I've said on my podcast that I think Julius Randle is a great basketball player, but I just think of, you know, when the Gobert trade first happened, I think we had John Krasinski on our show, mm-hmm. and I think we all thought they were going to be good, and I think we all thought it was an adjustment to having just lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, where interior scoring was like out of this world and they had no mm-hmm. one to stop it, so they got Gobert. And then, you know, with interior scoring with like the Nuggets and like Gobert, I guess made sense, and we thought that they were going to be good, and I penciled them in as the third seed because I thought they were going to be that good. And the first year they were all together, they really struggled. And Anthony Edwards had quotes saying, like, I can't dunk or get to the paint as easy as I used to because there's so much crowdedness. And I think, you know, they ended up finishing as the eighth seed. They lose to the Lakers in the play-in. They go play the Nuggets, and everyone's all injured, so they lose in five. The next year is what? They were the two or three seed, and, like, they figured it out, you know? But my point is, you get rid of Kat, and you bring in Julius Randle. You got to refigure it out, and then you also got to account for there's not as much spacing again. You might go back to some of that muddled offense that they dealt with in that first season that they weren't like really adjusted to. And I'm worried for that. But I mean, there's also like, you know, they could just not play him with Ant. You know, they could start him and then pull him, put Naz Reid in, who quite frankly looked better on that team than Karl Anthony Towns did mm-hmm. at stretches, and just, you know, have Julius lead a second unit. And I don't know. I think there are things that they can do, but I didn't like the move for Minnesota, specifically if you're planning on playing Julius high minutes with Anthony Edwards. I don't really love that fit.
All right, let's end it with this, which is, how hard is it to see Klay Thompson in that other uniform?
I'm happy that, you know, like I think he's going to succeed, and I wanted him in a place where he could succeed, and I think Dallas is one of those places. I just wish it was in the East so I could like root for him to go to the finals, you know?
Yeah.
Cause obviously I'm rooting for the Warriors to go to the finals, and I wish I could root for him to go to the finals, but I can't.
I want him to play well.
Me too.
I feel like he's going to have spurts of playing well. He's going to get excited. He's going to, you know, the way that he's done with the Warriors, where he just gets hot and the team just takes that positivity and that craziness and they just run with it. But at the same time, he can do the opposite, right? Which is, he's not making shots and he's upset and he kind of brings the energy down, gets in his head. Yep. I would like to see a little bit more of that consistency with him, but I'm not sure if that makes him Clay, you know? So I'm hopeful that he plays well, but I think there's going to be some ups and downs with him. And I hope that the team and the leadership with Luka, we'll see. I don't know what kind of leader Luka is. I know he has the ball in his hands constantly, but we'll see if they can get the best out of him, which I think will be good for them and will be good for Clay's career, because there was a lot of, and if you kind of read between the lines on some of the comments that Steve Kerr and Draymond and Steph have made about how, like, it just seemed like he wasn't happy necessarily. You want that guy to be happy. He's a Hall of Famer and he's got four titles. Like, the end of his career shouldn't only be about coming back from these terrible injuries and never getting back to the type of player that he wants to. I know that is how he drives himself, but this is actually kind of going back to the Draymond thing. Like, he's got to be content with the effort that he puts in, even if the results aren't necessarily there. And that's what I hope for Clay. And I'll be rooting for that when I watch him.
Yep.
All right. We are done here. We are back. We'll be back more consistently when the regular season starts. So no promises on weekly stuff for us quite yet as we get back into the swing of things. But this weekend, Rod and I will be back after the 49ers game with We Want Winners. I think Brad is off next week. I will try and get a guest, but if not, then Thompson to Clark will just take a week off after the Giants season is finally over. But I do hope I may try to get a guest at some point to talk, because the playoffs are going on and it's pretty interesting time in baseball. All right. For Brian, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.